Okay, I'm feeling good about this. Let's make it happen. Jesus. That was the little boost I needed to get myself in the mood. And I go through phases. There's times when I love doing the podcast. You know, I can't wait to sit down behind the microphone. There's other times when it's just like, oh, God, I have to do the fucking podcast. Oh, I don't want to do the podcast. I've always said, I do this because I enjoy it. When the day comes I don't enjoy doing this anymore, I'm going to stop doing it. Because it's not like you guys are exactly throwing money at me or anything to do this. I'm not in this for the fucking fame and the fortune. That's for fucking sure. Even though I have been podcasting for 12 fucking years, still not famous, still not rich. But I'm okay with that. I'm not a fucking sissy. Although, if you don't pay for the podcast, you're stealing. That's my Stefan Molyneux impersonation. Yeah, you could give me a little bit of fucking Bitcoin. I mean, come on, guys. Cough something up. Shit. Alright, I'll admit, I haven't checked the Bitcoin wallet lately. Maybe somebody's thrown some Bitcoin in and I don't know about it. It could happen. I'll fire it up in a little bit here. When we finish recording, I'll fire up the Bitcoin, see if you motherfuckers have donated anything. You probably haven't because you're, you know, a bunch of racist, sexist, homophobic shitbirds. But it's okay though, you're my audience and I love you, and there it is. Welcome to Stating the Obvious Podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile. My intellect comes in and destroys stupid motherfucking statists. All around the world, no matter where those statists are, doesn't matter what kind of statist they are. Homo statist, statheist, femistatist, left-wing statist, right-wing statist, and even anarcho-sissies. Even if you're a cyber statist, you can still die. So I'm reading the book. I talked about this once or twice already. The Internet is Not the Answer by Andrew Keen. And I'll be doing an episode, or probably two, maybe even three, about this book. But I agree with his general premise that the Internet is not the answer. And he brings up a lot of things that I think are really important. And I should stop right now because I don't want to talk about this now, because I want to save it all for when I actually talk about this book. And thus, I will shut the fuck up about that book, but I'm going to talk about that book. It's a good book. There's a lot of things in there I disagree with, but it's still a good book. He's wrong about some shit. He's right about some shit. It's a well-written book, and it's interesting, and it will make you think. So anyhow, the other day, I had my tongue in this woman's asshole, and she turned around and she said, "Do I know you?" And I said, "No, but does that matter?" No, I really didn't. I was listening, I have been listening to Andrew Dice Clay. I'm like, holy shit, I would love to get a bunch of fucking social justice warrior millennials and strap them down and force them to listen to Andrew Dice Clay. When Andrew Dice Clay was popular, whenever that was, I don't really know offhand. I mean, I remember this point in time when people were talking about Andrew Dice Clay, and I knew a little bit. I mean, like, he did the Dirty Nursery Rhymes or whatever, you know. Little Miss Muffet sat on her tuffet, eating her curds and whey. Along came a spider who sat down beside her and said, "Hey, bitch, what's in the bowl?" Right? So I knew he did that, but I had never actually listened to an entire Andrew Dice Clay album or stand-up routine or anything like that. And I was on the interwebs on YouTube the other day and looking for some other stuff. I was looking for old Steve Martin, actually, and stumbled across in the search results, Andrew Dice Clay showed up, so I downloaded a couple of those. It's pretty fucking funny. God, but I'm listening to this and going, oh God, social justice warriors would just shit themselves if they heard this today. This is, well, it's funny, which is why they would shit themselves. Saying, that was how he started off on his routines. He has tongue up a woman's ass and she turned around and said, "Do I know you?" I'm just like, I died. It's funny. It's funny shit. What else? Oh, yes, I am the Great One himself, founder, Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com, on the interwebs, in the control room, on the other side of the glass, lovely and adorable Randy. Today is the 27th of January, in the year of our Lord, the God Emperor, Donald Trump, 2017. Hot on the heels of 8 years of peace and prosperity under the Messiah, Hussein Obama, during which, of course, their poverty was eliminated, free health care was given to everybody, and there was no war whatsoever. Now, of course, the God Emperor Donald Trump is running around raping women all over the place. I've had some weird dreams lately. I was going to tell you guys about this one, and I completely forgot. And then last night, I had another weird dream. And that reminded me about the weird dreams. Last night, I had this dream where I had some kind of disease or something. So my blood was contaminated. And there are all these other people trying to get a sample of my blood. So they're chasing me around with needles because they wanted a sample of my blood so they could, you know, isolate whatever I was infected with and, I don't know, use it for a bioweapon or I don't fucking... It's a dream. It's not supposed to make sense, right? And then I had a syringe with a needle filled with my own blood, and I was using this to repel them because, of course, they want to stick a needle in me and get my blood to get the sample, but they don't want my blood shot into their body because then they would be infected with this. And so the whole dream was just me running around trying to avoid all these people who are trying to stick me with their needles and get a blood sample. I think it's weird. That's never really happened to me before. Maybe that happens to you all the time. The other weird dream I had, and this was days ago, because I was like, oh, I got to tell my audience about this. This is hilarious. I dreamt that I was Donald Trump's son. And it was the inauguration day. And I was trying to get into the inauguration area, you know, where Trump's going to be sworn in for the swearing-in ceremony. And security wouldn't let me in. I'm like, I'm Donald Trump's son. What do you mean I can't go in there? Like, oh, no, you can't go. I'm like, what the? And I woke up from this. I don't remember how it resolved, if it did resolve. I woke up from that, and I'm like, where in the fuck did that come from? Like, the whole bioweapon thing, there are, you know, me being having a disease and people chasing me with needles. That probably comes from spending 8 years working in biomedical research with biological weapons, which, if you're new to the show, yes, I did that. And so that, yeah, there. The Donald Trump thing, I don't know why my subconscious wanted me to be Donald Trump's offspring. Although my bank account wouldn't mind being Donald Trump's offspring, to tell you the truth. I can think of worse things in the world than to be Donald Trump's offspring. Could be Hillary Clinton's offspring. That would be disgusting. Today is the 27th of January. Today is a holiday, one of my personal holidays. It's also a bad day. In history, this is the day that the Apollo 1 spacecraft had the fire inside the cabin and killed 3 astronauts on the pad. That was when NASA figured out, hey, maybe we should have a little less oxygen because, you know, a cabin full of oxygen is really fucking flammable. And this is also a personal, what I call a holiday, because it was on January the 27th, back when I was in basic training in Fort Benning, at Fort Benning, Georgia. I remember this day very vividly. So we're outside and we're on the PT field. This is the biggest PT field, and it had like the running track, the quarter mile track around it, and the green in the middle. And we're in the middle, they're in the green. And of course, because we're in basic training, basically in basic training, you essentially do 2 things. You clean things and you do push-ups. That's like 93% of what we did in basic training. Because remember, this is basic training before political correctness and equality and gender quotas and transsexuals were in the military and, you know, all this other weird shit that they have now. Now, I'm in, you know, basic training because there's women. They probably do like 3 push-ups a week and that's it. All we did was clean shit and push-ups. So we're in the middle of the field and there was nothing there to clean. So naturally, we were doing push-ups. And I remember we're doing push-ups and there's this white shit started like falling around me. And I'm going, Jesus Christ, I've done so many push-ups, I'm starting to hallucinate, you know? And all right, we're pushing up, and this white shit's, I'm looking around, and the other guys doing push-ups are, you know, looking sideways at each other, and these quizzical looks are coming on our faces. And, you know, and it's like this silent communication. It's like, dude, do you see white shit falling out of the sky? And they're like, dude, do you see some white shit fall? What's this? Is there really white shit falling out of the sky? And we're looking at each other. There's white shit. And we start slowing down on the push-ups, and we glance up at the drill sergeants, and the drill sergeants are looking at each other and looking up in the sky and looking at each other. And you can see this look on the faces of the drill sergeants. And they're thinking to themselves, is there white shit falling out of the sky? And sure enough, there was white shit falling out of the sky. It was called snow. It's like, what's this shit? So we were supposed to go to the field that day, and we were going to do an overnight bivouac. So we had all our shit packed already, and the buses show up, and we pile on the buses, and we go out to the field, and there's white shit falling out of the sky. And the buses get out there, and the buses dump us off, and we're standing there, and the drill sergeants are looking up for each other and looking at the foot in the sky, and there's white shit falling out of the sky. And the drill sergeant, and we're like, oh, and the drill sergeants are like, all right, build some fires. And we're like, okay, and we build some fires. And we're waiting for the misery to begin, because we're looking at this and we're going, oh man, the drill sergeants, we're in trouble now. It's fucking snowing. They are going to torture us. We are going to be so fucking tortured. We didn't know what they were going to do to us, but they were going to torture us because it's snow. They're going to, and we built some fires, and we're huddled around the fires for a little bit, maybe like an hour, and we kept waiting. Okay, when are the drill sergeants going to start the torture? Like, why are they letting us stand around fires and be warm? This is completely not basic training. And the drill sergeants come over, and the head drill sergeant, he's like, all right, guys, we called the bus. We're going back to the barracks. And we're like, what the fuck? The drill sergeants were like, fuck this shit. We are not doing snow. And the buses showed up, and we got back on, and we went back to the fucking barracks, and the drill sergeant said, take your shit up there, throw it back in your lockers, and go to bed. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Fuck. So anyhow, this is my official snow day holiday. This was when we got snowed out in basic training. Tomorrow, the 28th of January, is the day that the Challenger space shuttle exploded. And, you know, you can do what you want with that. There's, you know, cutbacks. Oh, we couldn't use the old O-rings that were damaging to the environment. We have to make the new O-rings out of shit that won't hurt the environment. And, of course, the O-ring leaked and blew up the fucking space shuttle. But, hey, you know, seven people who died? I think they were all white people, so that goes with the ethnic cleansing that the left-wing statist and social justice warriors are trying to perpetrate. And after all, we didn't want to use those O-rings that were bad for the environment. All right. That was my warm-up notes, I think. Where are we on time? Fantastic. All right, let's get started. Let's get started with actual shit. Oh, wait, I can't throw that away. I need those notes, because that's my fucking notes. All right. As you know, I hate people who use Apple products, especially Apple computers. You're not thinking differently, and you're idiots. Had this guy show up. Hang on. What the fuck? Why is... All right, hang on. There's going to be microphone noise. Everybody brace yourself. Oh, yeah. That was charming. I'm sitting here, and the microphone is slowly creeping down closer and closer and closer to my balls. Which, if a woman was creeping closer and closer to my balls, that would be fine. But I don't need the microphone creeping closer and closer to my balls, because I'm not talking with my balls. I do talk out my ass sometimes. That has been known to happen. But I don't talk out of my balls. Not typically. I had a person show up at one of the offices a while back. He had his fucking Apple computer, and he's supposed to tie into the big monitor we have there. And he's like, okay, do you guys have the little thingy bobber I need to hook my computer to your monitor? It's like, no, we don't have that. You're the one who has a fucking non-standard computer. You're the one who has a Mac. You're the one who has a computer that is not compatible with the other fucking 97% of people on the planet Earth. if you're going to come here, you need to bring your own fucking cable to hook your goddamn computer to the fucking monitor. And of course, because Mac users are all stupid and inferior, you know what happened. I ended up having to run to the goddamn store and find the fucking cable he needed to hook his Mac to the monitor and buy it for him. And I'm just so over you fucking Mac users. Because you're all just dumber than shit. I did an anarchy moment. I think I did another one. I think it may have been an anarchy moment. May have been a stating episode. We're talking about why Mac users are dumbasses. Guys, your Apple fucking sucks. And now, well, first of all, I'm going to link in the show notes. I'm going to put in a Dave Cullen video. And then a link to a search of Dave Cullen. Dave Cullen does a lot of shit where he sort of calls Apple out on their bullshit. Like with the iPhone 7 where they got rid of the port, the plug for the headphones. So you can't plug in your charger and plug in the earphones. I mean, it's just ridiculous that the way Apple is constantly like taking features out. Anyhow, I'm going to link. Dave has a video of the five things that are not good about owning a Mac. Just very briefly, he talks about, well, gaming on them sucks because there's not really any games for them, which, okay, and you can toss that aside if you're not into gaming. Upgrade potential is no good because you can't upgrade them, which is absolutely true, right? Your Mac can't, almost nothing on a Mac computer can be upgraded, which is by design. They want you to buy a new one. Their whole less is more thing where they do things like, and so he talked about again the headphone jack on the iPhone. He also says that on some of the newer Mac laptops, they've gotten rid of the SD card slots and all of the I/O ports are, I had to write this down, Thunderbolt style USB-C style ports. Now, I don't even know what the fuck that is. And more importantly, because I'm just not a loser and I will never own a Mac computer unless somebody gives it to me for free, I don't care what that is. But the point is, you can't just take your USB devices and plug them the fuck in anymore. And we'll hear some more about that in a minute from somebody who slobbers on Apple's cock. We got some sound clips coming up. Then he says that there's no touchscreen support in OS X, which, I mean, you know, I can live without a touchscreen, but it's kind of cool. And then, of course, he points out that they are far more expensive than PCs when you compare computers of equal specifications. And yeah, Mac has always been more expensive because Mac computers are not computers. Mac computers are status symbols. Mac computers are a way of saying to the people around you, I have too much money. And I don't actually use this computer to do any kind of serious work, because if I was doing that, I would have a Linux box. I'm just using my computer to show people around me that I think differently and I'm cooler than them and I have way too much fucking money. All right. We haven't done audio clips here in a while, so we're going to make sure that this works. We're going to make sure this works by hitting the button right now. And, right, Randy, either sound will come out or it will not come out. We'll find out. All right, play the clip. This is a clip from the podcast Marketing Over Coffee. Marketing Over Coffee is two guys who talk about marketing stuff, mostly in relationship to technology. So in relationship to social media, new technology, things that have come out, stuff like that. It's an interesting podcast. I'm less into it now than I used to be because I care even less and less. Like, basically every second that I'm alive, I care less about social media. And so in that sense, I don't listen to it as much as I used to. But it is very interesting, very informative. You hear a lot of stuff about the things that are happening with social media, behind the scenes stuff and marketing. So if you have any interest in marketing and the technology side of marketing, using software for marketing purposes, using social media for marketing purposes, I do highly recommend listening to Marketing Over Coffee podcast. It's definitely, absolutely, positively worth your time. They're wrong about, like, you know, it's like everybody else on the planet. Sometimes they're wrong, but the information is good. It's a short podcast. They're usually less than 15 minutes. And, you know, it's short, it's to the point, there's no bullshit. Unlike some other podcasts we know where people talk for 20 fucking minutes about their dreams about being related to Donald Trump and shit like that. This is a podcast where people doing it are actually focused and they do some editing so you don't have to listen to all the stupidity. Anyway, enough about me. No, actually, we can never have enough about me. It's me, 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 me. Okay, that's my setup. So there, this is one of the guys, this is them, and one of them got the new Apple computer, and he's going to talk about his new Apple computer. And I'm going to point out why Apple users are fucking losers. Here we go. Maybe. Are we going? Are you shitting me? Why is this not working? I fucking love it. Hang on. All right, we have to pause and fix the problem. Okay, we're back. Seriously, the fucking bad. We have a bad fucking cord. Bad patch cord. We just tested this shit. It works. We go live. Push the fucking play button. Nothing comes out. Bad patch cord. God damn it. Always something. Here we go.
Not a ton right now. I actually have the new MacBook Pro. I upgraded to the one that has the touch bar, and I love the touch bar. I love Touch ID to unlock stuff and authenticate. I despise what they did with the ports. They made them all USB-C ports.
There you go.
So now my dongles have dongles.
His dongles.
Yeah, I saw a Facebook post on that. It said you dropped about $400 on cables to make this all work.
Okay, there you go. He had to spend $400 to buy devices so that he could take his existing USB devices and convert that so that he could plug it into his new MacBook Pro that has the touch bar on it, which he loves. Okay, important things to listen to there here. Important things to remember. He loves the touch bar. You heard him say that, right? You're going to hear him say that again because we're going to play this again. You heard him say that. $400 to convert your USB things so they can plug into this Macintosh. Really? You're going to tell me this motherfucker doesn't have too much money? You're going to tell me he's thinking that you're going to tell me this is thinking different? You're going to tell me this is not a status symbol? If I went and looked at a computer and the computer doesn't have a fucking USB plug on it, I'm not going to buy that. It's like buying a car that doesn't have a steering wheel and then having to buy a conversion kit so that you can steer the fucking thing. Only Mac users can be this fucking stupid. All right, hit play.
True.
Yeah, it's just absolutely crazy how much stuff you need just to operate your laptop now.
It's crazy how much stuff you need to operate your laptop. He just admitted he bought a laptop that requires additional items to operate it. I have a laptop. It's got to be close to 10 years old. I don't need any additional items to operate it.
I have a full bag of dongles, and then some of them have to connect to other dongles, which is just ridiculous.
He has a bag of dongles, and some of the dongles have to connect to other dongles to interface with his Apple product.
In order to make stuff work. And some of them have like hidden limitations, like the Thunderbolt 2 USB-C connector does not work with displays. You need a separate connector for that.
I need a different connector to hook to other displays. And so now when this cocksucker shows up at somebody's office, he's going to be like, hey guys, do you have the dongle I need to hook to your monitor? Because I own an Apple product. And I'm not going to provide my own dongles. I expect other people to provide those for me.
Yeah, it's way out there.
Wow, I'm surprised. Of course, the market always lags with that. But I imagine somebody's going to have to come out with some kind of super connector that at least bundles up four or five.
That will be Apple, so they can make more money.
All that different stuff to lose in your bag, but.
Yeah, there's a couple that, you know, Belkin's coming out with one that's sort of a desktop one. ArcHub has one that's going to be sort of a desktop slash somewhat
portable. You have to buy more shit to use your computer.
I imagine all the vendors will be at some point, but man, they, you know, if there was any way Apple could have made this more inconvenient, I don't know what it would have been.
But it doesn't matter because you will still buy Apple products because you're a dumbass. Because you are so desperate for that status symbol of having a fucking Mac computer that you are too goddamn dumb to look at it and go, hey, this is fucking underpowered, overpriced, and I can't fucking plug anything into it, but I'm gonna buy it anyway because I'm thinking differently. I voted for Hillary Clinton. I'm such a different thinker.
So the Touch Bar is interesting to me too now because I haven't played with that yet. And of course, it's kind of a joke to me that, you know, I know whenever a keyboard of mine dies, I look down and, you know, the standard keys are all worn out. And then there's this whole row of stuff up at the top that's never been touched ever.
Now, I'm not sure what he's talking about there, but because Macs, I know, have slightly different keyboards. But I'm assuming he's talking about the function keys, F1 through F12. And if you're not using those, then that's because... I guess because you're on a Mac, because I use my F keys all the fucking time. The function keys can be made to do things under Windows, at least Windows 7, and in Linux, which real computer people use, you can map all kinds of I use the fuck out of the F keys. Under Linux, I have all kinds of hotkeys and configurations tied to the F keys. If you're not using the F keys, that means you just don't know how to use a fucking keyboard, or maybe you need to stop using a Macintosh.
But you found that you are using it as part of the daily routine?
You know, I don't use the Touch Bar all that much other than for the authentication. You know, they say it has all this content.
I don't use the Touch Bar all that much. Okay. Let's play this again.
Not a ton right now. I actually have the new MacBook Pro. I upgraded to the one that has the Touch Bar. And I love the Touch Bar. I love Touch ID to unlock stuff and authenticate.
I love the Touch Bar. He loves the Touch Bar. He doesn't use it all that much, but he loves it. You see, he can't say, well, the computer is underpowered, overpriced, I can't plug anything into it, and the whole reason I bought it, the Touch Bar, is something I don't actually use. No, yeah, I love the Touch Bar, but I don't actually use it that much.
And, you know, the standard keys are all worn out, and then there's this whole row of stuff up at the top that's never been touched ever. But you
have I
found
mentioned
that you are using it as part
Mac
of the
Mac users are
routine?
Stupid.
You know, I don't use the Touch Bar all that much.
I don't use the Touch Bar all that much.
They say it has all these contextual buttons and stuff, but like you, I own external keyboards for everything because I don't like reaching over the trackpad.
Oh, he uses an external keyboard with his laptop.
Yeah, that's a nice feature, but not really how I use this thing.
So it's a nice feature, the touchpad. The Touch Bar, it's a nice feature, but it's not really how he uses it. But he loves it. So to use his fucking Mac computer that he spent all this money on, he needs dongles for his dongles so that he can plug everything in, and he needs an external keyboard. And the reason he bought it was because he loves the Touch Bar, but he doesn't actually use the Touch Bar. Do I really need to spend more of my life trying to persuade you that people who use Mac computers are stupid? Do I really need to? I mean, if this has not done it, this is a Mac user admitting to you he's a dumb motherfucker. What more can you possibly look for? Now, speaking of dumb motherfuckers, we have the millennials. I prepared these sound clips. These sound clips are from a Cato Daily podcast. I prepared these sound clips back in June of 2015. That's how long these have been sitting around. And I don't remember exactly what's in them because I haven't listened to them since then. But I made them so that I could respond to them. So here we go. This is today's throwdown. Who's stupider, Mac users or the millennials? So let's hear about millennials. Go ahead and play the first clip.
So we asked millennials to explain how they perceive themselves ideologically social issues, and then again separately on economic issues, and then also how they see the president and a number of political figures.
Remember, Obama was president
at
the time.
And what's interesting about this is this tells us about perception. And what we found is that millennials see themselves as very close to President Obama on social issues. They see both themselves and the president as left on.
Right, as murdering people with flying robots, indefinite detention of American citizens. Yes, They see themselves very close to President Obama.
Social issues. However, when it comes to economic issues, they actually don't see themselves as close to President Obama. They see him as definitely being left, but they see themselves in the middle. And see themselves as a little bit closer to Republican governor, New Jersey governor Chris Christie, on economic issues.
I find that devastatingly hard to believe, but whatever.
Many have assumed that because of their voting behavior and because they're socially liberal, that they're also economically liberal, and that's actually not accurate. Research Center has actually delved into this and found that young people are not different from older people when it comes to issues of business, regulation, and the social safety net.
Oh my God. No. No, young people are definitely not more in favor of socialism, you know, free birth control, free abortions, free healthcare, taxing rich people. What was the other? There's something else in my brain and it flittered away. Keep playing.
Young people like free markets.
No, they
actually
don't.
If you ask them, if you know, what's the better system, they choose a free market system 64% to a government managed economy.
Okay. But again, this is an opinion poll. When you ask them, do you want to live in a free market system or do you want to live in a government managed system? Sure, 64% may say they want to live in a free market. So this is the classic, this is the reason I tell you guys opinion polls don't mean anything. It doesn't matter what people say. It matters what they do. Look at the millennials. How many of them supported Bernie Sanders, who is outright saying, I am going to take money away from other people and give you free college? Okay, it does not matter. This opinion poll is amusing, it's interesting, but you have to look at the actual behavior of the millennials.
Only 30% would choose the latter.
So 30% of millennials will outright say, yes, we want the government to control the economy.
But part of the misperception is that you hear that the kids these days like socialism. Have you heard that?
I've heard
it's a misperception.
And what's happening there?
Right. See, it's a misperception. There really was no support for Bernie Sanders among millennials. See, that's a misperception.
Is that young people don't know what socialism is.
And there it is. Young people don't know what socialism is. Because remember, these are the millennials. This is the smartest generation ever. They have Google. But she's making this excuse for the stupidity of millennials by saying, oh, well, they don't know what socialism is. Because, of course, typing socialism into Google would be too fucking difficult. It would just be too difficult for the smartest generation ever to read a fucking book about socialism. No, they can't do that. Why, they're too busy fucking posting selfies on Instagram.
When asked about a free market economy versus an economy managed by the government, it was 2-1 in
exactly.
terms of preferring a free market economy. But when asked about capitalism versus socialism, the margin narrowed considerably. Capitalism still wins, but it's 10 points rather than 2-1.
Okay, so there we go, right? See, we want a market system, but we don't want capitalism.
Right, it's 52-42. Capitalism still wins. But what that tells us is that actually suggests that young people are more supportive of socialism than they would be of a government-managed economy, which is, if any...
More supportive of socialism than they would be of a government-managed economy. Okay, socialism and a government-managed economy are the same thing. If the millennials knew what socialism was, if they weren't stupid as fuck, they would know that.
Anything socialism light. The thing is that young people don't know that socialism means that the government runs Amazon, that the government runs Uber and Facebook and Apple, and...
Right. They don't know what socialism is because they're the smartest generation ever.
You know, it's actually funny.
It's not funny.
Reason TV did some in-person interviews with college students going on college campuses, and they asked them, they say, okay, you know, what do you think of socialism? What do you think of, you know, free market system? And it was funny because almost all of them said, you know, I don't have an adverse reaction to socialism. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. And then they would say, okay, when it comes to running businesses, do you think that maybe the government should run more of our businesses? Or do you think that's better left to the private sector? All of them say, the private sector. Definitely. The government shouldn't be running that.
But they're in favor of socialism, which is the government running businesses. They don't know the meaning of the fucking words they're using. This is why you cannot have intelligent conversations with stupid people. And, Randy, I noticed the fucking volume on that has crept up. Can you drop that back down? Yeah, right there. Thanks. Fucking Christ. Guys, the smartest fucking generation ever. They don't know that socialism means government running businesses.
And what that tells us is they actually don't really know what socialism means. And a recent survey asked people to define socialism, and only 16% of young people could define it accurately, or some variation of the accurate definition.
16% of millennial pieces of shit can accurately define socialism. Smartest generation ever.
How do millennials come down in terms of people who are likely to run for president in 2016?
They like Democrats. about 53% say they would be open to voting for Hillary Clinton. Following her is Joe Biden, and then after that is Elizabeth Warren.
Really?
But I also, Democrats? We found something else. We asked them if they would be willing to vote for a candidate who was socially liberal and fiscally conservative. We actually found another 53%, the same as Hillary Clinton, said they would vote for a socially liberal, fiscally conservative candidate.
Except
and
that person doesn't
the
exist.
Millennials who were the most supportive, and if you think, would you guess that they would be liberals or would they be conservatives? They were liberals. Liberal millennials, liberal and moderate millennials were the most enthusiastic. 60% said they would vote for such a candidate.
Yeah, because such a candidate does not fucking exist. I mean, maybe you could say whoever the libertarians, was it Gary Johnson that ran on the libertarian? But they're not, see, again, they say this shit, but when it comes down to it, they're not going to vote for these other people. They're going to vote like most people do, either Republican or Democrat. Because people have been told this shit, including the millennials, including people not millennials. And I've made fun of this multiple times. I've talked about this over and over. We're told that every vote counts. But then we're told that if you vote for a third party, you're wasting your vote. And everybody is always going to vote. The vast majority, they're always going to vote either Republican or Democrat, because people do, in fact, I think they do see this as, well, if I vote third party, I'm wasting my vote. And everybody wants to be a fucking winner. And everybody wants to, you know, and also, of course, people are going to do it. I can throw myself in this, right? This, as you know, this year I broke down. I voted in the presidential election, which I have not done in at least the previous, I didn't vote either of the Obama elections. I didn't vote before that, I'm pretty sure. Shit, I haven't voted. When the last time I voted, it's been a long time since I voted presidential election. I think the last time I voted in that was when, and I didn't even vote in the presidential election, I voted in the primary though. It was when Patrick Buchanan, this was in the primary, Patrick Buchanan was running, was it the first George Bush? I don't even remember. I just remember voting for Patrick Buchanan in the primary because the person who was currently favored, whatever, or president, I'm pretty sure it was fucking George Bush's second run for the president, the one he lost becoming a one-term. This is the first George Bush. And I think it's because I was so pissed off because George Bush, the elder, was such a dumbass, and I voted for Buchanan as like my little protest vote. So anyhow, I broke down, voted for Donald Trump. As much as afterwards, I felt really dirty for having done that. But then I watched that video of the Young Turks melting down, which you saw in yesterday's episode of, or edition of Basket of Inferiors. I watched that video of the Young Turks melting down at Donald Trump's victory, and I'm not going to lie, I felt some pride at voting for Donald Trump. I really did. Voting in the presidential election, voting for Donald Trump, it is not anarcho-capitalist. It made me feel kind of slimy and dirty and just skanky. But watching the Young Turks melt down, that made me experience pride at having voted for Donald Trump and contributing to that. So anyhow, yeah, these millennials and these opinions, oh yeah, I totally vote for somebody who's fiscally conservative and socially liberal. No, they won't. They're going to vote for whoever the Democrats throw out. For the most part, are there some Republican voting millennials? Yes. But none of them are going to buck the system and go vote for some third party person who is fiscally conservative and socially liberal. That's not going to happen. They are drones. They are slaves. They are inferior. They are brainwashed. They are going to vote either Republican or Democrat the way that they have been conditioned to vote by the state.
It's the conservative millennials that said they wouldn't. And what this tells us also is that for young people right now...
Well, what this tells us is that the conservatives are a little bit more honest. Right? The conservatives are just, we're not going to vote for that. We're going to vote Republican no matter what. At least they're honest. Again, the liberals are the ones saying, oh yeah, we would vote for this other candidate. No, you wouldn't. You're lying pieces of shit.
They're largely basing their political identities and their voting behavior on social issues, issues of social tolerance, inclusivity.
Tolerance, diversity.
And economics, while it matters, plays less of a role in how they form their political judgments right now.
Exactly. Economics don't matter because it's all about forcing other people to do the things you want them to do, and the skin color, and the transgenderism, and all this other shit. And this shows you where their fucking priorities are. Now, as an evil anarcho-capitalist, I have a lot more interest in an economy. You let people do what the fuck they want as long as they don't bother other people. But if you don't have an economy, if you don't have a environment, a system, a nation state, a village, a polis, whatever you want to call it, where there is an economy where people can create things and exchange things and create value for each other and amass wealth so as to be able to provide themselves with food and shelter and clothing and help other people and start business, then nothing else matters. Right? If your economy fucking collapses and everybody's starving to death in the fucking street, it doesn't matter if trannies are allowed to use whichever bathroom they want to use. Right? It's like when Ayn Rand, I think it was Ayn Rand, said, and I'm paraphrasing here, the needs of the producer must come before the needs of the consumer. Because if the producer can't produce shit, there's nothing to consume. So instead of worrying about what bathrooms the trannies use, first, you need to have a society where there's an economy where you can have things like bathrooms and indoor plumbing and electricity and clothing, right? That's a little bit more fucking important than what bathroom trannies take a piss in.
Do we have a sense, given that a lot of these people sort of came of age and have entered the workforce during a pretty terrible time for employment?
How could it be terrible? Obama's the president.
Does that...
Wait, whoa. We mean a terrible time for employment. We've had 8 years of this man is obviously racist. There's never been better employment opportunities than under the 8 years of Hussein Obama.
How much can we say that it has informed their opinions about the economy?
So you might think that those challenges and struggles would make economics more salient to their vote.
You might think that.
And it hasn't in the way you would think. Typically, people become more interested and concerned about fiscal issues when they start paying more in taxes.
Really?
When they get that first job and promotion, when they buy a house, get married, and have kids. And actually, we find that in our data as well.
Okay.
Instead, though, for a lot of millennials, a third are under unemployed, a third are living at home.
Yep.
And this has caused them
to not experience this.
Be a little bit uncertain about whether the free market system offers them income mobility. And this is a very important distinction.
Okay, They don't think the free market system is offering them income mobility. Well, first you have to go get a job. First you have to not get a worthless degree. First you have to actually do something to create value for other people. Okay, it's just sitting around at home and going, well, I'm a millennial and I support diversity and tolerance and therefore I should be given free money. Okay, no, that doesn't fucking cut it. You have to go forth and you have to do something to create value for other people.
They like the free market 2-to-1. They do believe
even
that the free market brings about economic prosperity and
right.
technological progress.
But
they don't know, we asked about this, they don't know if the free market system drives their own economic opportunity. And the Great Recession has a lot to do with that.
So I like the free market. The free market provides opportunities, but I don't know if it gives opportunities to me. The reason it's not providing opportunities for you is because you are lazy. You have to get up, go outside of your mom's house, and do something to create value for other people. No, you are correct. The free market does not create opportunity for lazy people who will not go the fuck outside and do anything for other people.
In the past, people assumed that those two things went together. If you like free markets, you think that they bring technological progress and they move you up the income ladder. Right now, those two things seem to have become disentangled, where now people say, yes, the markets, the free market system drives prosperity, but they don't know if it brings economic opportunity like it used to.
So it drives prosperity, just not economic opportunity. So how do you get prosperity without economic opportunity? How do you you're a millennial. You have no fucking idea.
Young people are increasingly nonpartisan. Now,
no,
this is actually a trend across all cohorts, but especially among young people. About 52% say they're independent, politically independent, when you first ask them if they're a Democrat or a Republican or something else.
When you first ask them.
But if
Hold it. I love how many times in this thing she says the word but. 52% call themselves politically independent when you first ask them.
Press them. Then
press them.
A third say they're completely independent. And that's really interesting. They are three times more likely than older people to say they're politically independent.
Okay, but they're saying this. Look at the politicians they support. They are not politically independent. They are left-wing. This is why I keep fucking telling you guys over and over and over. It does not matter what people say. It only matters what they do.
So then can we say anything with confidence about millennial skepticism toward government if they're unwilling to identify with
skepticism towards the government.
Well, a lot of people have assumed that young people are very supportive of government.
They are. Again,
based
look at
on
their actions.
A couple of data points that have been discovered throughout the last couple of years.
Discovered.
However, young people are becoming increasingly skeptical of the government.
Really?
Now, an example of this is in 2009, only 42% of millennials thought that the government was wasteful and inefficient. Only 42%. Now, this shocked people. Older people, to 7 in 10 will say the government's wasteful and inefficient.
So
people thought,
experience.
Wow, you young people are really enthusiastic about what government is able to achieve. However, we asked this question in 2014 using the exact same wording. Mm-hmm. We found 66% of millennials thought government was wasteful and inefficient. So this went from 42 to 66%. This is
okay, but they're still not looking for fewer handouts. They're still looking for Obamacare. They're still looking for the government to fund abortion and Planned Parenthood. They're still looking for the government to provide them with a safety net. That, again, it doesn't matter what they say in your fucking opinion poll. Your opinion poll is interesting. It's interesting to talk about. It's interesting to see what the millennials think they are and saying about themselves and shit. But look at what they fucking do.
It's been a surge. We also find that about two-thirds think that government regulators, when they write and enforce regulations, favor special interests over the public interest.
No shit.
And then another 58% say that government agencies generally abuse their power. Only 25% think they generally do the right thing. And this shows that while young people still feel that government can be a source for good to help the disadvantaged, they are skeptical of its power.
No, they're not, because if they were skeptical,
we are seeing a decline in government support among young people. Now, to be clear, they are more supportive of government action than older generations.
Yes, of course they are.
However, when you ask these questions about whether government should be doing more or be doing less, that is on the decline for millennials, and they're becoming a lot like older cohorts. And as it turns out, Generation X was very similar to young to millennials today.
What are they doing?
It seems as though young people generally are more optimistic about what government is able to achieve. And with experience and time, they realize that it doesn't always do what they want it to do.
Is that why the millennials are all butthurt over Donald Trump? Because they're optimistic about what government can do, and they realize they don't always get what they want.
And they become less supportive. One of the data points that really struck people a couple of years ago is that millennials were the only cohort to say that they wanted a larger government with more services.
Exactly.
This shocked people because older Americans say they want smaller government with fewer services. However, there's evidence that suggests that millennials might not know what we mean when we talk about the size of government. I mean, think about it. What does that mean, the size of government? And so as a result...
Hold it. Millennials don't know what it means when you talk about the size of government. Okay. It's one thing when you don't know what the word socialism means, but when you say to a millennial, should the size of government be bigger or smaller, and they don't know what that means?
We decided to ask that same question, found the same result that Pew finds, that yes, about 54% of millennials say they want larger government.
Larger government.
But then we asked a second question, and in this question, we mentioned tax rates. Because if they don't know what big government is, maybe they don't know that it requires high taxes. So this time we say, would you prefer a larger government with more services and high taxes, or a smaller government, fewer services, and low taxes? Guess what happens?
They want
smaller
government.
Support flips.
Right.
And 57% of millennials prefer a smaller government with fewer services
and
low
stupid.
Taxes.
They think
but
they
something
can get
else
more
happened.
Government.
When you first asked
without
the question
taxes.
Without taxes, Caucasian millennials are about 20 points more likely than non-white millennials to support small government. However, when you mention tax rates, that difference narrows considerably and actually disappears among white, Latino, and Asian millennials. And what this suggests is that perhaps different groups have a different propensity to associate size of government with taxes.
Right.
And if that's true, then that means that when we talk about government, we need to avoid using old language about
old
big
language.
Government or socialism or capitalism, because young people may not know what we mean. Instead, we should be concrete and specific about what government is doing, what it costs, and most importantly, who is paying for it.
We have to not use old language, because millennials don't know what words like socialism and big government mean. Again, we have to dumb everything down for them, because they are millennials. They are about as fucking stupid as motherfucking Mac users. Okay, hang on.
And 57% of millennials prefer a smaller government with fewer services and low taxes.
Okay.
But something else happens. When you first ask the question without taxes, Caucasian millennials are about 20 points more likely than non-white millennials to support small government.
Okay.
However,
so
when you mention
without taxes, white people, let's call them what they are, white people are 20% more likely to want the smaller government. That's when you say without, right, because we white people, we evil, racist, sexist, homophobic white people who work for a living, we understand that government doesn't have money of its own, because we're the ones funding the government. We're the ones paying the majority of the taxes that pay for all this other shit. All the non-white millennials do not understand. I'm not saying this as an insult. I'm saying this as a fucking fact. I'm explaining these results. They do not understand that all the free things they get from the government are not free. Those things are paid for with money taken away from people who work for a living. Now, these are the same millennials who say that the free market isn't providing them with the opportunity to amass personal wealth. Well, no, because anytime you start amassing personal wealth, you have to start giving more of your money to the government so it can give, the government can give free things to people who don't work. And the millennials can't figure any of this out because they don't know what words like socialism mean. They don't know what phrases like big government means. They don't understand that more government services requires more money to pay for those services. And the money only comes from two places. You either print the money and devalue the money in circulation, or you take the money away from people who earn it, and thus people who make money have less money when it's
said and done. Tax rates. That difference narrows considerably and actually disappears right. among white, Latino, okay. and Asian millennials. And what this suggests is that perhaps different groups have a different propensity to associate
right.
size of government with taxes.
Taxation.
And
yes.
if that's true, then if that means
true.
That when we talk about government, we need to...
I like how she just did this opinion poll, and then she's saying, well, if it's true, so you're saying that your opinion poll may not be useful and valid. Hey! Thanks for agreeing with me about the worthlessness of opinion polls.
To avoid using old language about big government or socialism or
language.
Capitalism because...
We have to dumb everything down for the millennials because they are too dumb to know what the fuck the word socialism means because reading a book would be too goddamn complicated for a millennial. So I ask you, my friends, you make the choice. What do you think? Who do you think is stupider? Mac users or millennials? It's just a-